Steve, I brought a message several years ago from the text that I'm going to use today. But let's look at it again. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, we have these words. Now here's the topic. Here's our topic. Those things which are revealed. Those things which are revealed. Now listen to the text. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things belong to God. But those things which are revealed, those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this book. I hear the complaint on every hand. In fact, I heard it just 2 days ago. I hear people say, I read the Bible, but I just cannot understand it. I just don't understand the Bible, preacher. I read it, but I just can't understand, especially the King James Version. I just can't understand it. The Bible is hard to understand. Now, that's the complaint. Well, let me address that complaint in three ways. Now, I may surprise you a little bit here, but you listen to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. People say, I don't understand the Bible. I read the Bible, but the Bible's hard to understand. Now, let me give you three things about that. Number one, the Bible, my friend, is not only hard to understand, it's impossible to understand apart from a knowledge of its author. Now, don't you ever forget that. The Bible is impossible to understand apart from a knowledge of its author and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about understanding its mysteries, understanding its message, understanding its redemptive glory. Now, where do we find that? In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul wrote, the natural man. Now, when he said this verse of Scripture, he'd already said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of the sons of men, the things that God's prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. While the Spirit searcheth the things of God, yea, the deep things of God. And then he said, but the natural man. Who is the natural man? That's folks that are born of flesh. That's the common, ordinary person. That's the man without Christ. That's the man who is not a believer. He's a natural man. There's spiritual men and natural men. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. The foolishness, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. The word discerned is judged or understood. So what I'm saying, when you approach me with this statement, I don't understand the Bible. Well, my friend, you can't. It's impossible if you do not know its author, if you're not taught by his Spirit. And then secondly, the very fact that it is the Word of God limits my ability to understand it. Whose Word is it? It's not some man's writing. I can understand the writings of people who have the same educational level as I have, or the same nationality, or the same interest. I can understand about anything that a man writes, a man of my educational background, or a man of my own interest, or a nation. But this is the Word of God. And that limits my understanding. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who can know the mind of God? Who hath been his counselor? The wise man said, it's higher than the heavens. What can you know? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? So let's remember that. You say, I can't understand the Bible. It is God's Word. It requires a revelation. It requires being taught of the Spirit of God. And then thirdly, even the redeemed, even believers, even the disciples only know in part. I saw a book on a bookshelf one time, just a little book, little pocket book. The title of it was All About the Bible. Well, Peter didn't have that information. Our Lord Jesus said to Peter and the other apostles, I have many things to say to you. You're not able to bear them yet. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. The apostle Paul didn't have that information. He said, I know in part, I prophesy in part, I see through a glass dimly, but when that which is perfect is come, I'm going to know even as also I am known. But I say that this excuse is overworked, terribly overworked. This is a flimsy excuse, and it's a deceptive hiding place. Let's be honest. One old writer said years ago, he said, my problem is not with the parts of the Bible I don't understand. My problem is with that part of the Bible I do understand, but I don't like. He said, that's my problem. My problem, let's be honest, my problem is not with those parts of the Bible that I don't understand. Let's leave it that way. The secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us and to our children. The very fact that it is the Word of God limits my understanding. I only know in part. I don't even know what percentage that is. It's just a part. I'll bet it's a very small part that I know. He that thinketh he knoweth anything knoweth not as he ought to. We're not sufficient, Paul said, to think anything of ourselves. But there's some of it you and I do understand. And our human, fallen, depraved, wretched, degenerated nature doesn't like it. That's the problem. I believe the rich young ruler understood what our Lord said to him. Here was a man, his hands filled with diamonds, clothed in satin and purple and fine linen, his bank accounts full, his barns bursting, everything he had, everything he needed, everything he wanted, his neighbors sick and poverty-stricken and without things. And our Lord said, you go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And come take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have riches and treasures in heaven. That man knew what Christ was saying. There wasn't a doubt in his mind what Christ said. He didn't like it, but he knew what he said, and he walked off. I believe Herod understood what John the Baptist said. Don't you think he did? He kind of liked John the Baptist. Old Herod, King Herod, he left his throne and castle and palace and went out yonder in the wilderness to hear this preacher, John the Baptist. A 32-year-old preacher. And he admired him, and he did many things. But old John one day pointed his finger in the face of that monarch, and he said, Herod, not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He'd stolen his brother Philip's wife. And he said, that's not right. You better do something about it. I expect Herod knew exactly what John was talking about, don't you? You reckon that was hard for him to understand? And then the Pharisees, I believe they understood what our Lord said when he looked at them and said, on the outside, you appear beautiful to men. You have all these religious rules and regulations and duties and deeds that you perform. You have all these do's and don'ts and all this legalism, and you appear beautiful to people who can only look at your flesh. But God doesn't look on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart, and your heart is full of extortion and excess. Christ said, you're like an old tombstone. On the outside, you're white. On the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You reckon those fellows knew what he was saying? I kind of believe they did. I don't believe they needed anybody to explain to them what the Master was saying. They understood it. They gnashed their teeth and would have stoned him. And then the religionists, they understood what Christ said when he said, I and my Father are one. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the Heavenly Father and I are one. There's one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I'm equal with the Father. Before Abraham was, I am. And those folks at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, our Lord was brought up in Nazareth, and he came back to visit his hometown. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue, and here are all these nice religious people sitting there on the Sabbath morning who had come to worship God. And our Lord Jesus stood up to read, and he read something to them, and they said, now do some miracles for us. Let's see you do some miracles that you did down in Capernaum or somewhere else. And he said, no prophet is without honor save in his own country and among his own people. But I've got something to say to you too. There were many widows in the land of Israel in the days of God's prophet, but he didn't heal a one of them. He only healed a widow that was only fed a widow that was a Gentile. He only fed a widow that was a Gentile. There were many widows in Israel among the people that thought they were God's favored people, the religious people. And our Lord fed not a one of them, but he fed a widow who was a Gentile. And he went on. He didn't stop. He said there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, and God healed none of them. He only healed one, a Gentile. They knew what he was saying. And they rose up in anger, wrath filled their hearts, and they took him outside the city walls and would have thrown him off a cliff. Those nice religious folks left church on that Sabbath morning to murder a man because he said God didn't owe them anything because of their nationality or their heritage or their tradition or their religious duties or their ceremony, that God would be merciful to whom he will. That filled them with wrath. They knew exactly what he was saying. Here's what I'm saying, my friend. Yes, sir, the secret things belong to God. There's so much I do not know, cannot know, will never know until I stand in God's presence. Those things belong to God, always have and always will. But I do understand much of this word. And much of it does not agree with my way and my nature and my desires. And same thing is true of you. And you resist and reject and rebel against certain parts of God's word, and you say, well, I don't understand that. You don't want to. It crosses your will. I never will forget several years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class in a certain Baptist church, and I read a portion of God's word. It's found over in Romans chapter 9. I was standing before a men's Bible class, and I opened the Bible to Romans chapter 9. And I started reading. I said, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. A man interrupted me. He said, just a moment, preacher. I said, yes, sir, what is it? He said, you're teaching that God chose men to salvation before they were born. I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, I know good and well you are. That's exactly what you're teaching. I said, no, sir, I'm not teaching that. I'm reading the Word of God, and that's what God's Word is saying to you. And instead of receiving what God's Word says and believing it and accepting it, you're turning your anger upon the teacher. I didn't say it. God said it. His is the message. I'm just the messenger. No need to get angry with me. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We understand these things. We do understand. It's not that we don't understand. It's that we do not believe. We reject the truth because it crosses our wills, because it crosses, it's against the grain of our wills. We find something we just don't like. And we say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. We read a scripture that says God is love, and we believe that, but we read another that says God's angry with the wicked every day. And we don't like that. We don't like that. We read a scripture that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we like that. We read another that Christ said, you've not chosen me, but I chose you. We don't like that. We read a scripture that says, let your sons and daughters prophesy and so forth. We read another that says, let your women keep silence in the church. I suffer them not to speak, nor to teach, nor to use of authority over man. We don't like that. We know what it says. There's not a doubt in our mind what it says. But because we don't agree with it, we say, well, Paul meant something else. I don't understand that. My friend, let's let God's word speak. Don't subject God's word to your thoughts or your traditions. Subject your thoughts to God's word. Let's look at several verses of Scripture. First of all, here in John 19, verse 11, our Lord stood before Pilate. And Pilate was annoyed. The Lord Jesus wasn't cooperating with him. He was a puppet dictator, sitting on a puppet throne, ruled himself from Rome. But he wanted to demonstrate his authority. Men usually do. And he said, "Don't answerest thou me? Answerest thou not me? Why, I have the power to crucify you and let you go." And our Lord calmly looked at him and said, John 19:11, you could have no power against me at all, except it be given thee from above. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Pilate understood what he said. He may not have understood the mysteries of it and the glory of it, but he understood the working of it. You could have no authority or power over me at all in any way, except it were given you of my Father. Now, I don't intend to preach divine sovereignty and deny human responsibility. Man is not a dead log. Man is not a robot. He's a responsible, accountable creature. If any man perishes in sin, it'll be his own fault. There's nobody in hell that'll lay his condemnation at the feet of God. There's nobody under condemnation in hell that'll blame God for his judgment. True and righteous are his judgment. Men perish because they will not come to Christ. Not because they can't come, because they won't come. You will not come to me, Christ said, that you might have life. But my friend, if a man is saved, it's by God's grace. If a man perishes, it's his own fault. The door is there. The door is open. The invitation is sent. The supper is spread. Come, he says, for all things are ready. All you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. But men will not come. Now, if they do come, it's because God called them, and God Almighty chose them, and God Almighty enabled them. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. But I'm telling you this, when men begin to talk of what God can do and what God can't do, when men begin to boast of their free will and talk about God's weakness, God wants to do this but can't, Jesus Christ wants to do this but can't, the Holy Spirit wills to do this but can't, it's time to set the record straight. As forcefully and kindly as we can, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all deep places. Nebuchadnezzar said, I got my sense back. My reason returned to me, and I know now that God ruleth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God said, can I not do with my own what I will? Hath not the potter power over the clay? We love him, yes we do, because he first loved us. We seek God because he sought us. And I'll tell you this, your birth is by the will of God. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I knew you. I sanctified you. Your salvation's of the Lord. Jonah said that. Salvation's of the Lord. David said the salvation of the righteous is of God. Your days are determined by the sovereign pleasure of Almighty God. Man's days are determined. The number of his months are with the Lord. He cannot pass. He cannot pass. Heard a man say recently, a fellow died in an accident. He didn't die by accident. He might have died in one, but he didn't die by accident. It's according to the good pleasure of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Our Lord taught us to pray that way. He said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then John 6:44, listen to this, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the drawing, the wooing by which men come to God in repentance and faith is by the power of God. What is it to come to Christ? Just exactly what is it to come to Christ? We hear this all the way through the Scripture. Come unto me. Him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. Well, it's not a physical coming because many people came physically and walked away empty. Rich young ruler, Nicodemus. It's not a physical move. It's not coming to those things that represent Christ. Simon Magus came to baptism and departed in the gall of bitterness. Ananias and Sapphira came to the altar and they carried him out dead. The Pharisee came into the temple and went home unjustified. So it's not coming to the things that represent Christ. It's not even a moral reformation. What is it to come to Christ? It's to believe on him. It's to believe the record that God hath given concerning his Son. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe who he is and what he did and why he did it and where he is now. All things in reference to Christ that are revealed in the Word. It's to trust him. In whom you trusted after you heard the Word. It's to trust him. Trust him. Like I'm trusting my weight on this platform. Like you trust your weight in a chair. Like you trust yourself to a bridge or an automobile or an airplane. Trust him. leaning on nothing but Christ. And then it's to receive him, to receive Christ in his office, all of them, prophet, priest, and king. It's to receive the scepter of his kingdom. It's to receive his grace and mercy. And this men will not do, they're not able to do by nature, except the Holy Spirit enable them. Ephesians 2:1 says, and this is clear, it's easy to understand, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Paul said this in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9, he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his mercy and grace which was given to us before the world began. That's not hard to understand. That's not hard at all to understand. That's giving God all the glory. That's saying, I was unable, he made me able. I was unwilling, he made me willing. I was unworthy, by Christ's righteousness he made me worthy. I was in bondage, captivity, he set me free. I was blind, he gave me sight. I was deaf, and he gave me ears. I was lame, and he made me walk. To God be the glory. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. David said the salvation of the righteous is of God. And then that we understand some of these things. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, our Lord was speaking one day to a whole host of religious people. And religious people have so many rules and regulations that are so unessential. And they're so bad about neglecting the essential things, important things. And our Lord said to them, his disciples had eaten something and they hadn't washed their hands before they ate. And the Pharisees got all upset because the disciples had eaten without washing their hands, an old tradition, a custom. And our Lord looked at them and he said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man. It's that which cometh forth from the heart. It's not that which goeth into the mouth. For he said, you put something in your mouth, food or drink or whatever, and it's digested and it's cast out into the draught, and it leaves no effect unless you overindulge, intemperately or something like that. But that particular thing you put in your mouth does not defile you. But it's that which comes out of the heart. And boy, these Pharisees, these religious people got antagonistic. They got angry as they possibly could. And his disciples came to the Lord and they said, Lord, the Pharisees were angry by what you said. And our Lord said, leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. They're married to a system. They're married to a standard. They do not know a gospel nor a person. They're married to do's and don'ts. They're trying to confine sin to eating or drinking or food or some kind of ceremony or something like that. They're forgetting that sin is a nature, a principle of the heart. Christ said, that which goeth into the mouth is cast out into the draught. It can't defile you. But those things that come from the heart, that proceed out of the mouth, that's what defiles you. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, fornications, blasphemy, envy, jealousy, pride, lust, all of these things. I picked up a newspaper in Fairmont, West Virginia, a few weeks ago, and it told the story of a woman kind of up in years who had had an automobile wreck. And she was trapped in the wreckage. And she was there several days. And they finally found her and got her out of the wreck and took her to the hospital, and she got along fine. And they said, what'd you do while you were in the wreck? She said, I prayed. I talked with the Lord. They said, what'd you say? She said, this is what she said, Lord, I never did drink. I never did smoke, and all I ever chewed was food, and the only bad thing I ever did was play bingo. And you know what the paper said? She was lucky at both. She won $30 at bingo, and she got rescued from the wreck. That's atrocious, but that's what the ordinary person thinks sin is. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't hang around with folks that do. My friend, sin is a principle. That's what our Lord is saying. You understand what I'm saying. It's not that which goeth into the mouth. And you can make all the rules and regulations you want to about food and eats and drinks and all these lengths and seasons and everything else. Sin is a transgression of God's law and not the church's rules. Sin is a transgression of God's law and not man's law. And it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. And you've totally followed the deceptive subtlety of Satan in departing from an understanding of what my Lord, your Lord, and this earth's Lord has declared sin to be. That's what it is. It's a nature. Until God gives you a new heart, you can quit every sin you know and go to hell. Until God gives you a new heart, you can quit every outward deed and every outward so-called bad thing and carry the very cesspool of iniquity around in your unregenerated heart, because that's your trouble. But our Lord said, if you cleanse first that which is within, then the outside will be clean also. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. I don't understand the Bible. Now let's set the record straight. I understand what he's saying. I can read words. I can read nursery rhymes, and I can read first grade material and high school material. I understand words. I may not understand the principle of the atomic energy and the principle of all these other things, but I know what the words are saying, and you know what God's saying. And what we need to do is say, Lord, be my teacher. Bring my will in conformity to yours. I bow. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.